have been looking in previous weeks about, bless you, about our identity in Christ, about being set free to be the people who God has created us to be. This is a book about being breaking free from the spiral of destructive thinking. For those of you who weren't here last week, and I know that some of you weren't, let me read you the blurb on the back of the book to give you a little synopsis. It says this: we've all tried to think our way out of bad habits and unhealthy thought patterns, only to find ourselves stuck with an out-of-control mind and an off-track daily life. Pastor and best-selling author Craig Groeschel knows from personal experience the daily battle against self-doubt and negative thinking. In Winning the War on Your Mind, he offers practical advice and biblical insight that will lead to a brighter, healthier future. What we're talking about is about being the people who we know we are. Being set free, however, from unhealthy thought patterns and being transformed to live the life of joy and peace that have always been God's intention for us. So last week we started looking at where we're going, and every week it's a four-week series, every week there is homework. One person asked me this week, do I have to hand my homework in? I've done it. Do you want to mark it? No, it's not that sort of homework. Your homework is... the person who said that isn't here, so you can work out who was here last week and who wasn't here now. It's between you and God. But I do hope that if you were there last week, you've had an opportunity to spend some time grappling with what we shared last week. Each week in this four-week series builds on the last. So you can catch up by listening online on the church website. So if you've not heard last week's and you have no idea what I'm talking about, can I encourage you to do listen again? It will make much more sense if you actually start from week one. And also, I have last week's homework. If you're going to commit to starting afresh, listening to week one, I have last week's homework sheet as well. So each week, we're thinking a little bit about how the brain works. We're looking at modern-day psychology, mixing with some biblical truth. And it covers four principles, which are these. The replacement principle, we looked at that last week. The rewire principle, we're doing tonight. The reframe principle and the rejoice principle are to come. So I'm going to talk about rewiring your brain. Some of you are thinking, oh, crumbs, Louise, crumbs. So let's talk about rewiring. Let me introduce you to someone. This is my lovely dad, Tony. He was very practical. He could teach me anything. Did you know that I can tile bathrooms? My husband's going, can you? I've not done it since. But my dad taught me how to tile a bathroom. I also have, alongside my dad, bitumened a roof. Colin's suddenly impressed. It's the first thing I've said in 8 years that has impressed him. Because I mentioned roofing and bitumen in one sentence. He also told me how to rewire a plug. So let me tell you a story. Those of you who have teenage daughters will know how important hair appliances are. They are vital. There is nothing more stressful for the dad of the teenage girl for a hair appliance to break when a teenage girl is wanting to do her hair. I thank the Lord for hair dryers and hair straighteners. My life was turned around when I discovered I could fry my hair by straightening it. So imagine teenage Louise about to go out, discovering that hair straighteners would not work. That is a problem to the dad who mends everything. So he set about mending the errant hairdryer, taking apart the hairdryer, cleaning off the dust and the hair that had gathered in the hairdryer, and then deciding it needed to be rewired. All well and good. But then he decided to test out his mending skills and his handiwork, not by giving me back the hairdryer so I could then finish drying my hair. No, no, that would be too simple, everyone. Oh, no, no. He decided what would be good to do was to plug in several extension cables, multiple extension cables, climb a ladder, and use the hairdryer to try and defrost the icy guttering. I have a picture of him doing it, which I tried very hard to find, but I couldn't. I wanted to put it on the screen so you would believe me. What could go wrong with that plan? You would have thought that electricity and water do not mix. That was not a problem. That was not the thing that caused the sparks and the short circuit of the entire house and the very large bang. No, was the fact that the usual competent father had completely messed up his wiring and had crucified my hairdryer and the electricity in the house. Crossed wires are always a problem. Now, I hope that the only thing, I hope that you remember more about what I'm going to say, apart from my dad nearly dying on a ladder, and that you shouldn't defrost guttering with a hairdryer. It feels weird having my dad looking at me. No, I'm not going to look at the screen. We're talking about our thoughts and the stuck patterns our thoughts lead us into sometimes. And I think some of it's down to dodgy wiring. I will explain. If you are anything like me, there may be things that constantly trip you up. Anyone else like that? There are things that trip you up, and they seem to trip you up all the time. Why is it that we lack the power to live the ways we want to live? Why is it we try hard to change but end up doing the things that we really don't want to do? Why is it that we say we're not going to do something and we still end up doing it? Why is it we go, well, I'm not going to go down a Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok wormhole for the next 3 hours, and then 3 hours have passed and we're still there on our phones? Why is it that we decide that the credit card bill is too high and then we carry on spending? That we're going to lose weight, but then we carry on eating the things we shouldn't? The Apostle Paul said, the Apostle Paul had the same problem. In Romans, he says this, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Yeah, quite right, Paul. We do things because we have crossed wires, because of how our brain works. I said there'd be a mixture of psychology and scripture, so here's a little psychology lesson in a moment. So in order to help us, we need to find a way that works with how our brains work. We need to correctly rewire the hairdryer, to rewire our thought patterns and our brains. Did you know Alaska has two seasons, winter and July? When the weather gets warm in the summer and all the snow melts, the dirt roads get muddy. Cars drive on them and they create long, muddy ruts. There's a sign on one Alaskan road that says this: choose your rut carefully. You'll be in it for the next 60 miles. Choose your rut carefully. We all know what being stuck in a rut feels like. It's frustrating if you want to be out of it. Thinking the same thoughts, doing the same things, experiencing the same problems. And if you're stuck with no way of getting out until the rut ends, like in Alaska, that is profoundly unhelpful. So let me talk to you a little bit about neural pathways. Every thought we have produces a chemical change in our brain. Your brain, it's astonishing, literally redesigns itself around every thought. The brain is a command center that directs parts of your body through neurons, which link together to create messages. The same message sent multiple times creates a neural pathway. And the presence of a neural pathway makes a thought easier to think, and it makes it easier for your body to send that same message again. Neural pathways are kind of God's ruts in our brain. Let me introduce you to someone else. This is my dog, Lola. Stay with me. We have a rut in the garden because of our dog. When Lola is happy, she does zoomies around the garden. But she does exactly the same path around the garden. She never mixes it up, goes in a different direction. Her zoomies have created a worn-out path around the washing line. A rut, because it is well-travelled. Sorry if the man's lawn is meant to be looking pristine, it is not. She clearly is a happy dog with lots of zoomies. It's exactly the same way a repeated thought creates paths in the brain. These ruts are often carved deeper by the bundle of nerves at the base of our brain stem is called the reticular activating system. Get me? Is this exciting? Which does the job of filtering and sorting out the data that comes through our brains and allows us to focus on what's needed and to ignore the rest. This operating system is also part of the reason we get what we expect. Our brain is designed to look for patterns and create neural pathways to help you keep thinking the things that you keep thinking and doing the things that you keep doing. Which is why it's hard to do new things until you've done them several times. Until a good neural pathway has been created. Because practice makes perfect, that's where that comes from. You're making a new neural pathway. Each of us is designed to smoothly and efficiently create and fall into habits, into neurological ruts. They're good things. They're helpful if it's about brushing your teeth. It's not helpful if it's about overeating or overthinking. So some ruts are good, but some ruts are not. What about those unhealthy ruts? Last week, we set about trying to identify some of the lies that we have believed, that we have taken into our lives as truth. In our homework, we were asked to notice any unhelpful thought patterns. I know I did. They are mental ruts. I wonder if you did that. I wonder what your ruts are. So these mental ruts can be created by any experience that is repeated. Anything that we go through, good and not so good. And I was thinking, I wonder what mine were. I overeat. I know you'd be shocked to think that by looking at me, but I do. I've always had not a terribly healthy relationship with food. So I began to think, well, I wonder where that started from. So I thought about what our attitude at home to eating was. You finish what's on your plate. Anybody brought up believing that? If you've done something good, my reward was food. I got a bottle when I cried. When I fell down, I got chocolates. So I would fall down more. That has created a neural pathway in my brain. Neurons link together if the same message is repeated again and again. In lots of life experiences, our brain does what Lola does in my garden, creates a well-worn rut. Wires get crossed and life happens, and sometimes unhealthy ruts create toxic thinking. In this book, Craig Rochelle says this: unless we break the pattern, our lives continue to move in the wrong direction. Paul, the apostle, not Franklin, says this: do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's actually a really amazing promise, that if your mind is renewed, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice the word pattern. Patterns are habits and repeated behaviors and repeated thoughts. Oh, almost like a neural pathway. Don't conform or copy, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I think the renewing of our minds is a God job. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not just stuff we learn from a book. But that's our hope, that God joins us in this journey of creating in us a desire to be the people that he would have us be. So last week in our homework and in our message, we learned how to remove a lie and replace it with the truth. And all the truth that we are removing with lies is what God says in his word. That is the most important truth in our lives. In this week's homework, we're going to create new neural pathways or begin the process. Dig new helpful trenches that will help us rewire our brains and renew our minds. So each week, Emma is going to hand out our homework. She is our classroom assistant. You need, should I get you a badge for next week? Okay. So as I said earlier on, if you weren't here last week and you genuinely have no idea what we're talking about, you can catch up online. And if you want to join in, get last week's homework. So as the classroom assistant is handing that out, let me continue. So we need to think about what goes into our brains. Because we know, don't we, that what goes in gets lived out in our lives. In the book, there's this interesting statistic that we are bombarded with 500 unintentional and intrusive thoughts every day. I don't know how the scientists have worked this out. 500 uninvited thoughts. Wait for it, it gets better, Dan. On average, lasting 14 seconds each. Right, so if you work that one out, that's like 2 hours of intrusive thoughts every day, which is crazy if you think about it. 2 whole hours. 2 hours of thought missiles that are not helpful. Now, if we don't do something about that, those will win. Our minds work by what they're exposed to the most. It's called the law of exposure. The mind absorbs and reflects what it's exposed to the most. Paul wrote a lot about our thought life. He says this: those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Paul is teaching that if you allow a thought into your mind, it comes out somewhere in your life. So if you want a change in your life, then you have to change your thinking. So our homework this week. I want us to make the law of exposure work for us and expose ourselves to what God says. So we're going to begin the process of creating solutions for our mental ruts by creating trenches of truth that work with how our mind works. If the band wants to come up now, that would be helpful. So the homework plan is this: write it, think it, confess it, until you believe it. Write it, think it, confess it, until you believe it. So our first part of homework this week is building on last week's work of identifying our lies, writing down the truth in Scripture, and then rewriting a declaration in our own words of biblical truth we want to say over our lives. So I invite you to do that in the week ahead, to concentrate again on those lies, add truth and declaration, God's truth. And the next part of that is learning to ruminate, basically to meditate on Scripture, one of those scriptures that you've identified as a truth that you need to work on. And I've written down some of the suggestions on how to do that from Craig Groeschel. So it's basically about how we overcome the lies that we have believed as truth by replacing those ruts with a scriptural truth and keeping repeating that, speaking the truth over our lives and doing it again and again, writing it, thinking it, confessing it until we believe it. Doing it once doesn't work because the lies we've believed are said again and again. So we need to balance that out with truth over and over again. Tell yourself the truth. Meditate on it. Ruminate on it. Write it, think it, confess it until you believe it. And then ultimately, eventually, you create a new neural pathway. I want to remind us, because some of us may be thinking this is all a bit airy-fairy. This is about being who God has created us to be. About not being chained by the things that Satan wants us to be chained by. And I want us to be reminded in all of this, we are not alone. God wants us to succeed. We are reminded that nothing can separate us from God's love, not even unwired thoughts. We are to own the words we say over ourselves and for them to be God's words, not something we just read, but something we begin to live. So let's pray for God's help in what we do to rewire our brain and renew our mind to change our thinking that will ultimately change our lives. Let's pray. Lord, all of this is complicated. We don't want to be in stuck places where we live anything other than what you have purpose for us. Lord, help us rewire our brains. Holy Spirit, would you speak truth to our lives? Would you help sort out the lies from the truth? Would you help us meditate on your word? Would you help us see ourselves through heaven's eyes? For those of us who are going on this journey together, Lord, we pray your wisdom and your clarity, your gentleness, Holy Spirit. Would you help us keep our eyes fixed on your good and perfect will? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.